Thank you so much. It's so good to be with you this morning. I won't say who it was. I saw somebody yawning already. I won't even identify who that was. And I'm just teasing, by the way. But in any case, when you're a parent, you get tired very easily. And when you're a grandparent, you get tired very easily as well. But so good to be with you this morning. Down here at Grace Bible Chapel in Sterling, and so good to be able to have an opportunity to share God's Word with you this morning. Now, I was told I've got an extra 5 minutes, so we'll see whether I take that or not. But anyway, don't you worry about the clock. I am looking at it every now and again. Every now and again I look at it, okay? You have it strategically placed right there, so that's good. I remember one time preaching somewhere. It was a Sunday evening, and the one thing that preachers find is when you go from place to place, you've got to take note of when the thing started, you've got to take note of when you got up there to preach, you've got to think ahead of time, you know, when you're supposed to finish. But sometimes when you're tired, you kind of forget some of those things. And especially on Sunday evenings, when we used to have Sunday evening church services, some places still do. And the thing about that is some of them started at 6, some started at 6:30, some started at 7. Well, I got up somewhere one Sunday evening to preach, and it had been a long day, and I'd been visiting folks and preaching in the morning. And as I got going, I didn't take note when I got up as to what time what time I'd started. And as I got going, I glanced at the clock after a while, and I was surprised to find the clock had only advanced about 10, 15 minutes. I was surprised by that. I know that had been going for quite a while. And so then I glanced up again after a little while, and it still hadn't moved along very fast. I still had a lot of time on the clock, so I kept on going. And it's one of those services where you think, wow, I just have lots and lots of time on the clock. I got so much covered this morning. And it was around that point, after I must have been going at least 35 minutes, when I realized, I'm going to say it's well beyond 35 minutes. It was well beyond that, okay? And I realized the clock's not working. Okay, it hadn't advanced at all, and so it was saying 20 to something, and I probably was about 20 after something by that point. But in any case, we'll try not to make that happen this morning, but it's so good to be with you. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, and I just want to bring a couple of quick updates to you. Happy Father's Day, by the way, to all of the dads, and I realize some folks here, obviously, some of you aren't dads, but amongst the male population, some of you aren't dads, but I want to thank you can still be a dad figure, you can still be an uncle figure, you can still be just that godly example to someone else. And so I think most of us know that we have dads, and then we have others who are dad figures to us, and good godly examples to us. And so we can be thankful for that. I was back in I was born in Scotland. Some of you know that. And where's the Scottish accent? It's back in Scotland. But I was back there 3 weeks ago. We were there for 3 weeks, my wife and I. And it had been a long time since we'd been back. But as I was there, we were able to visit with my two remaining aunts and my one uncle. And it was good to be able to see them. And they're well advanced in their ages, and in their upper 80s, and one is already 90, and I don't get back very, very often. And so just meeting with them and spending some time with them for the day, and then the following day seeing them at church and then seeing them in their homes afterwards, we all knew, it was unspoken, but we all knew this is probably the last time we're going to see each other this side of eternity. But they're already, every one of them, ready to meet the Lord. It was a privilege. This ties into Father's Day, by the way. It was a privilege to be able to say, and I made sure that I said it, because I failed in the past with this kind of thing. And I looked at my uncle when I was saying goodbye, and I said, thanks for being such a good uncle. It's important that we say things like that. It's important that we look at the positives. Sometimes we're so busy looking at the negatives, but it's important that we share that sincere appreciation when we need to. So some of you are not dads, and you're never going to be dads, and I want to encourage you to be okay with that, because you can be a good dad figure to someone else, and to all the ladies there, you can be a good mom figure as well. You've had your day, right? You've had the Mother's Day, And I'm kind of glad you have yours first. And then for all of us guys, help us. May the Lord help us to be that godly example. We are heading to camp in the summertime. Some of you might know that we've been involved in Hope Valley Day Camp in the Peterborough area for the past 30 years. We live in Bancroft, but we've been on summer staff, and this will be our 30th summer of going out there to help out at the camp. And to make a long, long story short, we've been looking for a new camp director and a new facilities manager. So, or if you think of a maintenance manager. So we received a new facilities manager, he and his wife, a year ago, and we were very thankful that they were able to move into the camp and to live there year-round. So Jonathan and Trish Easton is their name. They're commended from the Edmondson Heights Bible Chapel in Peterborough. So please be praying for Jonathan and Trish Easton. For those of you who have Bancroft connections or know Bancroft people, he would be Bob Easton's grandson. There, that's the best way to say that. Otherwise known as Jim Easton's son, okay? And so we're glad Jonathan and Trish are there. And then we also have this summer, just beginning on May the 1st, we have Liam and Joanna Tate, T-A-I-T, also commended to the Lord's work from Edmondson Heights Bible Chapel. And they've come on board to be the camp directors. And so they have quite some history in the past with the camp. I know Joanna was with the camp for about 7 years over the summers, and she's probably been away for about five or six years, but she's back again with us. And Liam had two or three summers with us as well. She is connected to the Graffs, G-R-A-F, up in Bancroft. Okay, that's her connection. So if any of you knew Judy Graff, that'd be Judy Graff's daughter, okay? And Ken and Judy Tate's son is Liam. So maybe some of you might know those connections. And so please be praying for Liam and Joanna. We have 55 young people who are coming on board this summer. Tremendous amount of young people. There's a lot of things that we can be discouraged about. There's a lot of things that get us down. A lot of times we look around and say, where's all the young people? I want to say to anybody who's younger than me this morning, thank you for being here. And sometimes we hear kind of depressing stuff. And I'm sorry that sometimes us old folks look so depressed and just act so depressed. But we're getting older, we're getting tireder, and we're concerned about the future. And I want to thank you if you have a concern for spiritual things and you have a desire to carry the flag, as it were, to take the baton. And so it's encouraging to me when I see 55 young people, most of whom are from the Peterborough area, from various Bible-believing churches that are preaching the gospel, and some are from beyond the Peterborough area, when I see 55 young people who want to come on board and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an encouragement. So please be praying with us for them this summer. One of the roles that I have is interacting with and discipling the staff, and also we're teaching. I'm involved in teaching the gospel to the campers as well. So we're anticipating about 800 campers this summer. We can take 200 campers at a time. I won't go into great details at this point, but we begin the first week in July is our staff training. We do staff training for a week, and so we'll have 55 young people with us. Pray for us. Okay, that's a lot of young people for a bunch of older folks to look after, and even some younger folks too. And then just pray for all of the needs of camp. The majority of the campers are from unsaved homes. The majority of campers, I'd say about 95% of the campers over the years, are not from Christian homes. And this is one of the opportunities, and perhaps for some, the only opportunity that they're going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And every year we hear about children and we lead children to Christ. We're not forceful with it. We just trust the Lord to work. So I believe that if the Lord raises up 55 young people and a camp director and a facilities manager and some other folks, and we're still needing some other positions filled, but raises up people to do that and provides the funds, and if we provide, and by the way, we don't charge the kids to come to camp. There's no cost. It costs us, right? It costs us money to do that, but there's no cost, and the Lord provides the need. So I believe that the Lord honors that and wants to see souls saved. So does it sound a bit like Graphite? Yeah, it's a sister camp to Graphite, started up by Doug Robinson and a board of directors many, many years ago. So please pray for us. Hope Valley Day Camp in Peterborough. If you're interested at all, you can look it up, hopevalley.ca. Okay, you should have found Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 by now. I'm going to take that extra 5 minutes for sure. And I want to say the sound man at the back. You always need a sound guy at the back there, don't you, right? You need more sound men. But to the sound guy at the back, if you switch my mic off, I'm going to keep on going anyway, okay? Just so you know that, okay? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Father, we just ask that in a very real way this morning, that as we open your sacred holy word, Lord, written by the Spirit of God, communicated from yourself, we just ask that you'd help us to understand it. We pray that your Holy Spirit would undertake for this time. I pray you direct my mind, my heart, my thoughts, and speak to every one of our hearts, Father, and draw us closer to yourself. And we just pray all of these things in the name of your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if you've ever heard this poem before. I got up early one morning. It could also be late, right? Sometimes it's late one morning. But I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. You know, there's things that aren't done because we just don't take the time to do it. I know what it is to be struggle with time. I'm a preacher. I understand that. I'm a procrastinator. I find it very difficult to organize my time. I'm a person who, just for whatever reason, I know some of the reasons, but I struggle with the concept of time and the right use of time and all of that. I also find it very, very easy to get distracted. I wonder if you're like that. I'm not just talking about prayer. I mean in general. I'm a person who gets distracted very, very easily. So hopefully I'll stay on topic with the message today. But what I want to share with you this morning is I'm not a person who's got it all together when it comes to prayer. That being said, the Lord is teaching me how to pray. George Mueller, who founded 5 orphan homes in Bristol, England, and housed hundreds and hundreds of orphans in a time when there was no one really to look after them at all, and he did so without ever asking for any funds from anyone. He just simply asked God to provide the needs. He was asked how much time he spent in prayer each day. His reply was this. He says, hours every day. But I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk and when I lie down and when I rise, and the answers are always coming. So he didn't just so much set aside a time for prayer, maybe he did that as well, but he prayed always because he knew that God was always available to him. And when we think about prayer, I think it's one of the things that we obviously struggle with. And if you're a person who's frustrated in your own heart because of your lack of prayer, or because you find it so difficult, and because you find yourself so inconsistent, and sometimes you feel like you're just banging your head against the wall, and you feel like you're a rotten, terrible, horrible Christian, you're just so unfaithful in this area, I want to tell you something, that God is not taking us by the collar or taking us and ramming us against the wall and shaking us and saying, now what's wrong with you? Our God knew that we were going to have problems with prayer. Our God knows that we struggle spiritually. And we have to understand as well that the very reason that prayer is even mentioned in the Bible, that we need to be doing it, that this is how to do it, this is how frequently to do it, don't ever give up in doing it, is because our God knows that we struggle in communicating in our relationship with Him. Let's understand this, that we are sinful creatures, and we are, even though we've trusted Christ as our Savior, and I'm hoping that you have trusted Christ as your Savior, but even then, we still have a sinful spirit on the inside. We're self-centered. We try to figure things out our own way. We do things our own way. And we do everything that way. And it's a learning process to learn to lean on the Lord and to do it God's way. It's a learning process to let God take over and to be the Lord of our hearts and our lives. So I know that every good Christian, by the way, it doesn't say in the Bible, every good Christian must. I don't read that. Those words are not in the Bible. I know that there's things Christians should be doing. There's lots of things that they should be doing. There's probably hundreds of things that Christians should be doing. And one of those is reading your Bible, and one of those is praying. I'm not going to say those things are not important. They are fundamentally important. In the one, we're reading what God says to us. He's communicating to us through the pages of Scripture. And as we read the Word of God, His Holy Spirit, who wrote those words, communicates it to our heart. And we were designed to have a relationship with God. You probably realize you're a relational creature. You may struggle with it. You may not be the most communicative person. You might say, I don't think I need to communicate a whole lot, but nonetheless, you do desire to have relationships with people, some interaction of some sort with people. Some of us crave that. Some of us don't seem to need as much, but we all need some interaction. And we were designed to have a relationship and an interaction with God. When we think about prayer, we got to think about interaction. It's not just this time that I'm setting aside and just get out my prayer list now, let's read that thing out. There we are. It's like reading out the shopping list. It's like when my wife says to me, what is it you need me to, I'm going to town, what is it you need me to get? I need bananas, I need raisins, I need apples, I need tangerines. I like those things, okay? And I need a bit more, I need my cereal that I like, okay? And so there's the shopping list. We've had a communication. It wasn't much of a relationship though, was it? But it was a communication of need. She goes, she picks it up, and she brings it back, and then I say, I forgot to tell you this thing, right? But that's not really a relationship. It is communication. It's interaction. But our prayers ought to be a whole lot more than just that. We were designed to have a relationship with a living God. And I'm so thankful that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, that He prayed and He demonstrated what prayer looked like. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, it came to pass as He was praying in a certain place, and then we read about His disciples saying to Him, teach us to pray. There He was, and He was praying, and they saw Him praying, and it was an impact on others. I want to say to the dads this morning, I wasn't planning necessarily to aim it at dads, but I'm aiming it there, but I'm aiming it everywhere, really. We need to be an example of prayer to others. It doesn't mean that we're going to be like the hypocrites He talks about who stand up and say, okay, now I'm going to be godly and let everybody know that I'm godly now. Okay, it's time to be godly. I'm going to have my godly prayer. It's not that. It's that just in our confidence in the Lord and our daily talk about the Lord and our daily walk with the Lord, we should be an example of others to and of those who are our children and our grandchildren or our nephews and nieces. We ought to be an example of someone who's trusting God. I'm so thankful for a grandfather who was such a good example to me. He was a very quiet man, my mom's dad. Very, very quiet man in so many ways. If you got him one-on-one, you got him into a conversation, he'd engage in a conversation for a long time. But he was just as likely to be sitting in the corner in his house reading a book. As mom and grandma are interacting, and us kids are off somewhere playing, and we come on down, and then my grandma would say, Walter, it's time to eat. Or he'd put the book down, and he'd come to the table. And then there'd be a little bit of interaction at the table. But I knew something about my grandfather. He was kind. He was loving. He always had time for us every time we came to him. He was approachable. I hardly ever remember him ever raising his voice in rebuke. He did sometimes when he had to. But we never wanted to disappoint him. And he was a man that we knew loved God, and he had his Bible right there, and he would read his Bible, and he was a man who prayed. And when he prayed at the table, I tell you, you could tell that he had a relationship with God. And so this was an impression on myself and others as well. And I realized that the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, as the perfect man, made an impression on his disciples. So Luke chapter 11 says that he was praying in a certain place. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says that he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. He prayed regularly. It was a regular part of his life to talk to his heavenly Father. He prayed seriously. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we read, "It came to pass in those days that he went out onto the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God." We would wonder that, right? That God the Father, God the Son are in perfect union with one another. Why would the Lord Jesus find a need to spend all night in prayer? Because he delighted to be in the presence of his Father. And he prayed seriously, and he prayed privately. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, it happened as he was alone praying, all by himself. And so there were those examples, and so we find in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, I know I didn't read any of these to you, but you can look at it later on, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, because that's the other place where we read the Lord's Prayer that we read together. When he sees that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. If you get nothing else out of the message this morning, one of the first fundamental prayer requests, or maybe one of the ongoing prayer requests I need to have, is, "Lord, teach me to pray." Not just how to do it, help me to, "Lord, teach me to do it. Remind me to do it." You know how you have reminders on your phone? You know how you got reminders on your calendar? You know how you got an alarm? I got an alarm that says, "Take your pills now." Okay, it doesn't actually say that, but that's what it means, right? There's another one, it's a cuckoo clock. It says, "Get out of bed now." And sometimes I ignore him and tell him to go to sleep. But after a while, after the, you know, it depends. Sometimes Monday morning after I've been away preaching or something, and I'll let that cuckoo go about four times, but I'll eventually get up. I need the reminder, right? Well, you know what? We need those who are reminders from the Lord. We need to ask him, "Lord, show me how to do it. Teach me to pray. I need instruction. I need to learn to do it. I need your prompting. I want you to show me how to do it." And so I don't want you to think about something, that prayer is something complicated. We make it bigger and harder than it should be. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to think about that. How did you pray? "My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your redemptive work at Calvary." Folks, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not bashing that for a moment. But do you realize as you grow in the Lord, you understand those things. But when you were a child, or when you were 52, or however old you were, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you just simply told him, "Lord, I know you're real. I know you've been dealing with me. Lord, I know I need to be saved. Please save me." And you trusted him. You believed that he would. You had confidence that he would. You knew your own inability, your insecurity. You knew your need of him. And you asked him to do something. And you believed that he would. And you believed that he loved you and he cared for you. It was one of the first prayers you ever had. You might have prayed before that. But it was the most important prayer that you've ever prayed. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. And it's as simple as what I just said. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I didn't listen to all the words. It's not important. The important thing is that you use your own words. And you tell the Lord, "I know you died for me. And I know you died to save me. And I need to be forgiven. So please forgive me. I'm going to trust you to do that." So however you say it in your own words. And that's the beautiful thing about prayer. Okay, David, you've got to move on here. I'm looking at the clock. I'm watching it, okay? So here we are. So he says, when you pray. Okay, you want some instruction then. He says, when you pray, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "You shall not be like the hypocrites." What's a hypocrite? Well, I know what a hypocrite is. We understand there's too many hypocrites in the church, right? And too many outside the church as well. But the word hypocrite is a Greek word, or comes from a Greek word. And, of course, the New Testament was written in Greek. And so the word hypocrite means an actor. When somebody said, "That's a hypocrite," they were saying, "There's an actor." You'd go to the playhouse or the theater, and you'd watch, and the actor was there, and he'd hold the mask up in front of his face. That's how they did it in those days. They say, "Look at the expression on that guy's face." Well, that's the expression he's holding up, right? And he's the bad guy, or he's the good guy, or he's the wonderful guy. But what he's putting on there is not really him or her. It's the face that they're putting on for you. You see, because there's somebody else in behind that. That's not real. It's just an act. We understand that when we watch a story, and we sometimes, you know, can get right into the story. A hypocrite is somebody who's play-acting. And we can play-act at our Christianity. We can play-act in our righteousness. We can play-act. You know what? I'll tell you this much. You might fool others sometimes. You can't fool God. You might even try to fool yourself. And the hypocrites were those who were the religious people, but they weren't right with God. These were the people who wanted to keep telling God how, or won't tell themselves, how religious they really were. And so they earned a place in heaven. And so they felt they were okay already. So what they would do, he talked about, he says they loved to stand in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they might be seen by men. It's all for show. It's all for show. Folks, you might show off in front of God even, but you can't fool them. And he says they have their reward. There's nothing wrong with public praying. But you see, public praying should be humble. And public praying should be holy. And public praying should just come from the heart. I didn't plan to bring three H's, but there you are. Humble, holy, and from the heart. Public prayers are just that. They're from your heart, but they're done in a public way. You do not need to try to impress someone else when you're praying. And if you're a believer and you're asked to pray in front of others, sometimes we get all hung up about that. I don't have all the right words. Jesus gives us some of the words. They're not actually very complicated, are they? Don't think that you have to reach a certain level of maturity or a certain level of using all the right words to be able to pray publicly. That if you're called upon, and by the way, men, we have a responsibility with that publicly in the group. But I realize there's times that ladies, you have an opportunity to pray together. And you might say, well, I can't pray because, you know, I'm just no good at that. You're no good at it. Well, it was good enough when you asked the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins. And you know, it's just that straightforward sincerity. I just love the fact the Lord gives us a very simple, straightforward prayer. It really is. Well, he says they have their reward. What did they want? These folks, well, they wanted the recognition of others, and they got it. But you know, there's nothing of any, see, they got nothing from God. And he says, but you, I'm going to move on. And he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What's he saying? In the King James Version, it's going to say, get into the closet. Well, I hope you got a big closet, because if you got a closet the size that I've got in my, I got to clean out my closet. There's no room in my closet. Anyway, I get distracted easily, and I'm kind of claustrophobic and closet phobic or whatever. So I'm not gonna work with that. But for me, my closet or my door, my shut off place is to go out for a walk. My wife knows that, and I'll say I got to go for a walk. She knows I'm going by myself. Okay, and that's just my time when I'm away and all the other distractions are gone. I'm just walking down the street and I try to go to places where I'm not distracted with other stuff and I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm not always even talking out loud. I'm just talking to the Lord. And there's times when I can come out and we sit on the deck. There's a deck that we built. We moved into a new house for us 3 years ago. And one of the things we did is we put a new deck on the back, a private area. And I said, yeah, we need that. We need it for family time, family space, all that kind of stuff. But it's a good place for me to sit out there and just enjoy quietness. I need those places. That's my door. That's my door being closed. That's where I can shut off the rest of the world. You need to do that. You need to do that. He says it's a conversation. It's private time. Private time between you and the Lord. And you've got an audience with the Lord. Did you ever try to come and talk to the boss and the boss was too busy for you? Do you ever try to go talk to the teacher? And the teacher said, ask me if you need any help. You come to ask for help and the teacher's too busy for you. Sometimes as children, we've experienced, and it's not always our parents' fault either. I'm not blaming parents. And you know what? They're too busy right now. But our God is never too busy for us. And our God understands us. And our God says, I want you to pray to me in that secret place. It's just you and me is what he's talking about. So it doesn't mean it's all secret, nobody else knows where you went. But the point is this, is that that same God who's with you in that place, that personal place with just you and him, will reward you when you pray. So prayer is just about spending time alone with God. I want to tell you, in my relationships, I was just reflecting on this a little bit this morning about how I need to spend a little more time with this particular child of mine. I was reflecting about how, you know what, I need that one-on-one time with each of my kids sometimes. And so I, you know, we enjoy that when we'd have just that, those my daughter and I, we had a little bit of interaction last week, for about an hour or so interacting on something. And she said, you know, when she was leaving, she said, you know, Dad, I know I spent a lot of time with Mom when I came over. That's how it is with daughters. She said, but Dad, I value and, you know, I appreciate that time we spent together. And I said, I appreciate that too. It's great to have it. It's one-on-one time with the Lord who knows all about your failures, your weaknesses, your inabilities, the struggles, the frustrations that you have. He knows all about that, and he loves you, and he wants to spend time with you. So understand that. So even when you come to him and say, Lord, I've been putting this off all day. It's 11 o'clock at night, and I should have done this sooner. He's not going to say, go to bed, that's it, forget it. I'm done with you today. If you want to talk to him, he's there. And he's not going to say, now what happened to you today? You know, well, he might say it quietly to your heart. But he's not a God who smacks you around. He's a God who loves you. And he says, okay, well, I'm here for you. I've been here all day waiting for you. And I'm ready for it. We can talk now. The point is this. We need to learn that we need those times. Okay. He talks about not having vain repetitions. What does he mean by that? He means that just simply saying the same thing over and over to him is not really praying either, right? God doesn't answer our prayers because we just keep telling him the same thing. God does tell us to be fervent in our prayers. God does tell us not to give up in our prayers. But he doesn't want us to keep going on and on and on and on about the same thing, thinking that just by if we just keep repeating it, he's got to do something. I'm just going to make God do this thing. It's like a spoiled child, right? Well, if the answer is no, the answer is no. Or if the answer is not yet, the answer is not yet. There is a persistence that the Lord honors, but we can, you see, the problem with the person who just keeps repeating is they're trusting in their own efforts. I'm just going to pray, and it's going to happen. You know what? When I pray, I don't know what's going to happen. Do you know what's going to happen? No, we don't know what's going to happen, do we? Unless it's asking God to fulfill a promise of his, like we're going to ask him to save us from our sins. He promises he'll do that. Okay, now we come finally with about 8 minutes. I've got that 5 extra minutes, so I've got I've got 9 minutes on the clock as far as I'm concerned, okay? So we'll see if we can get all these 9 points or however many there are in 9 minutes. But you know the prayer, and so when he says to us, in this manner, therefore, pray. He says, you want to know about prayer? Let me teach you about prayer. And what he doesn't mean is this. He doesn't mean, okay, now every single day you're going to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. People have said to me, or I've heard people in the past say, and I'm not bashing, please don't misunderstand me. I've heard people say, isn't it sad they took prayer out of school? Was prayer really there? There was a repetition of something, and I realize, and I agree with you, that there was at least an honoring of the fact that God is real. But I'm not really sure whether people were praying or not. You know what I mean by that? And so he isn't saying to us, say these words every day, this is it. Because when I say things to my wife, we're not saying the same things every day, right? Well, I mean, it's not just, okay, here's what I'm supposed to say to my wife now. I'll pull it out of my, I got it on my phone here. Dear Eleanor, I want to thank you so much. I'm not doing that. I'm interacting with her. But I'm talking about the things that we've got to talk about. And the Lord says, here's the stuff to talk about. First of all, it's that recognition of our Father in heaven. Do you realize you've got a relationship? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I sincerely hope that you have a Father in heaven. So here's the Father connection for you. You may or may not have a good dad. I don't know all your situations, not at all. You may or may not have or had a good dad. You may or may not have had a good relationship with dad. You may or may not have been a very good dad. But I want, and there's a whole lot of failure in our lives, and there's a whole lot of others in our lives that fail us. And I want to tell you, as much as you try to be the best dad, you're not going to be the best dad. You're going to try your best to be, right? But you're going to fail sometimes. But I want you to know something. There is a God in heaven who loves you. You might have had no real relationship with a dad at all, and you might say, and I know people like that. I know people firsthand who are like that. They've had no real good example of a dad or of a grandfather or of an uncle. And I was talking about that this morning. You know, you can be an uncle to somebody. I know some folks who have no good example of a dad, no dad figure, no grandfather figure, no uncle figure. It's not good, is it? But you can have a heavenly father. our Father in heaven. That's not just a title, because the thing is, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were born again by the Spirit of God, and you were born into God's family, and now you belong to a God who loves you and who treats you the way that a father is supposed to treat you. He takes care of you, he looks after you, he guides you, he teaches you, he leads you, he protects you. He does all the things that a dad is supposed to do with a child. And he does it perfectly because he's your Father in heaven. And if you're saved, you're going to go there someday. But when you talk to him, you're talking to him in heaven. We have the marvel of cell phones today. They're great when you're in an area where there's cell phone service. I was somewhere last Sunday preaching somewhere where there is no cell service. And so if I wanted to call my wife, it wasn't going to happen. But it's marvelous, isn't it? You can call people all around the world. You get that access if they're not too busy, right? We are talking to our God, our Father in heaven, right into the throne of grace. And he's there, and we have communication with him through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened up the way. It's interesting because the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God becomes your Father. He is not your Father until then. You do not have a relationship with God until you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But when you do, you have a Father in heaven. You got the best Father there ever was. And not only that, I not only recognize his presence and his person, but I recognize his character. Hallowed be your name. You are holy. So he says, when you pray to God, remember he's your Father. It's a relationship. He's not distant. He's right there. You go into the secret place along with him, and you can talk to your Father. That's wonderful. And he's holy. You might have familiarity. That is, you might have the ability to be able to come up close to him and to talk to him. But don't ever forget who he is. He is a holy God. We can't mess around with sin with him. He knows all about it. It doesn't mean he doesn't want us to come near him, but we have to treat him with respect. He is a holy God. We dare not come and demand of him. We dare not come along and say we're going to do our own thing or whatever. It doesn't work that way. We come in humility and we call him and we recognize that he's holy. Your kingdom come. He says, when you come and you pray, remember that God is going to set up his kingdom someday. Remember that God is the ruler of this world. Remember that God is the ruler of your life. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he saves you and he becomes your Redeemer, your Savior, all of those things. But he also becomes your Lord, and Jesus is going to set up his kingdom someday. I don't know if you watched the coronation. I didn't watch that. Actually, I was busy with other stuff. I'm interested, though. But there were some people who were bowing, right? The Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is your king. Now, he's not a bad king. He's a great king. He's a wonderful king. He's worth bowing to. He's worth surrendering to. And so when we come and we pray to him and say, Lord, I recognize the relationship here. You're my heavenly Father. I'm your child. You're holy. I'm not. And yet you love me. You are the king, and I need to be your servant. I need to let you rule in my life. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want what you want, not what I want. I don't want to be some sort of demanding child, but I want what you want. I want your will to be done. You know, God's will is always perfect. God's will is always right. God's will always includes what's best for us. Even though we're going through sickness, hardship, hard times, difficulties, and other relationships, his will is best. And so he says, you know what? You got to put God first. And then he says, it doesn't end there, because you can talk about your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. It sounds like give me, give me, give me. But you know what? All that other stuff comes first. A lot of times we just come to give me. That's not good, is it? We don't like when the kids show up and say, Dad, I've got something to ask you. What is it? I need this from you. Dad, you've got to give me. You've got to help me. I realize that there's need sometimes. But you see, it doesn't work that way with the Lord. But what he is saying is this, is he wants you to come and tell him what your needs are. And the amazing thing is he already knows what they are. Well, why do I have to tell him? Because he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to realize you need him in his life, in your life. He wants you to realize that you need to depend on him. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. He tells us that. And so we need to be asking for wisdom. I need to be asking for my actually, my daily bread involves my basic needs. I can talk to him about my basic needs. I can talk to him about that. Not my just my wants, but my needs. I can talk to him about this daily bread. Lord, I need your daily bread. There it is right there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you know Jesus said, I am the bread of life? You see, I need Jesus every day. I need his word every day. I need to depend on him spiritually every day. Lord, give me today what I need from you. And Lord, not only that, I'm also going to pray about my basic needs and bring them to you, trusting that you're able to provide it. I think sometimes we pray and we don't, there's a lot of things about prayer we don't tap into. But our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, if he wants to do it. And you know what? He always answers our prayer. But the point is this: whether we need to get through something, whether we need to handle something, whether we need to figure out how to do something, whether we need wisdom for something, whether we need protection, provision, he looks after us. And he's a God that we can put our trust in. It doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. Lord, I don't know why I got beaten up by those guys. I don't know either. But you see, God is still there for you. And so he's a God that we can trust. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He says, I want you to be talking about your sins. In your daily interaction with God, you need to be telling about your sin. You need to confess it to him. Forgive us our debts. And then you need to remember to be forgiving toward others as well, that your heart attitude has to be right before others. If we're not willing to have any forgiveness toward others, we realize that they've wronged us, but we've also wronged God. He says that, you know, it hurts our relationship with God. Forgive us our debts. God wants you to talk about your sin. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't hold off in telling the Lord Jesus about your sin. He already knows about it. You might as well tell him about it and ask for genuine forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? God tries to lead me into temptation? No, it means lead me away from it, will you? Lord, would you keep me from getting tempted? Lord, that temptation is strong. Lord, when she talks to me like that, I tell you, I grit my teeth. I'm just ready to do something. I just wanted to give that person a blasting. Whatever it was, right? Whatever that is. And whatever temptation you face, you know God is able to deliver you from it? Maybe we're not praying about it enough. And that doesn't mean the temptation isn't persistent. It doesn't mean to say that the devil doesn't work at us again in that a lot of times. But we can talk about the things that we're tempted by. It caused me to be absolutely awestruck when I realized that there isn't anything that I can't talk to God about. Whatever you're struggling with, anything you're struggling with, you can talk to God about it. He already knows about it, and he wants you to talk to him about it. And he says, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, Satan tries to trip you up. You know, he tries to discourage you. You know what he does? He tells you you're no good. He tells you that God doesn't care about you. He says that you may as well just give up. He says there's no way you can be forgiven anymore. He says you're useless. All these things that he says to you. He says that this word isn't the truth. He says not to trust this at all. He says that God's not working. All that kind of stuff. It's all lies. When we would send our kids off to school, I would often say to them before they'd get off on the bus, and especially when they went off to college, and we'd drop them off, and I'd say, guys, I know you're almost fed up here, and I'm going to say it anyways. You know what's coming? Yes, Dad, we know what's coming. And my eldest son used to say, Dad, but Dad, we appreciate it. And he would repeat it back to me, say, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus, and don't listen to the devil, because he's just a liar. He's just a liar. Don't listen to him. And part of our prayer life is when we realize Satan seems to be really attacking me right now, really knocking me down, that I just want to give up or whatever it is, you can talk to the Lord about the devil and say, Lord, deal with him. Deliver me from him. The Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so we can talk about those things as well. And then the final part that we often don't really take a whole lot of time to think about. Why would I pray all this? Because yours is the kingdom, because you are the king. I'm talking to the king. I'm talking to somebody who can do something. And the power, you've got the power to do it. And not only that, you deserve all the glory. It's not all about me and what I was able to figure out. I come in my weakness and a realization I need God in my life. But His is the kingdom. He's got the power, and He deserves all the glory. That's why God allows us to go through stuff sometimes, because we think we can do it all ourselves, where we clearly need Him. I hope that some of this has been a bit of a help to you. But I want to ask you just this morning, just how is your prayer life going? I used to hear things like that, and I used to go, oh man, I just feel so guilty, I feel so rotten. I came to church to get encouraged, I just left in discouragement, because I'm a rotten person, I don't pray very well, That's not the goal of me asking this morning. I just want to simply ask you, how's it going? Do you know you've got a God who loves you? Do you know a God who knows how you fail? You know you've got a God who knew that you were going to have a problem with this. You're going to struggle with this. And so this morning, I think what He wants you to understand is this, is that my first prayer request can be this, and my daily prayer request, and maybe for the rest of this year, is, Lord, would you just teach me how to do this? Lord, help me to pray. There's many a time I would come and I'd sit down. I'm going to pray now. Distracted. It's not working. I'm going to start praying, start saying words. I'm just saying words. What am I doing? I'm not even praying yet. Just saying words. I'm trying to pray, but it's not working. Okay, let's just try again. And then I'll say, you know what, Lord? You know I'm trying to pray. Would you help me to pray? Then I start thinking about what He's done for me. God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're my Father. Thank you that you care about me. You're up in heaven and you love me. You see, that's what He was teaching us in this prayer. It's simply that, giving Him His rightful place and realizing what an honor it is just to come and to talk to the God in heaven. I think that's why I like to walk, by the way. I get out walking, and sometimes when I'm just sitting on the deck, I look up. I'm looking at the trees, but I'm not praying to the trees. I'm looking beyond that. I'm just thinking, realizing God's right up there and He's right here too. He's my Father in heaven. And I can talk to Him right now where I am. Let's just do that together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again just for your blessings. We want to thank you for your Son. We know that we're weak. We know that we're frail. We know that we need you. But Father, we want to thank you that you never fail us. We want to thank you that you're a God who cares very much for us. And I just pray, Lord, you'll teach us to pray. I know there's a prayer meeting coming up afterwards. Lord, we just pray that whether in that meeting or later on, but even individually, Lord, we need to learn just to enjoy that relationship with you, just simply talking to you. And we want to thank you first and foremost that if we're saved, we have a Father in heaven who loves us and who welcomes us into His presence. We want to thank you, Lord, for salvation through faith in your blessed Son. Lord, teach us.